Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 233rd episode of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, recorded on September 18th, 2023. I am Lucas DeRuyter. I'm just coming off of a nearly two-hour-long live stream, so apologies if I'm a certain kind of way on this live stream. Andrew, I'm going to the well of internet questions on this one. Knife versus bat. What you rolling with?
Like a vampire bat?
No.
Because if I can train a vampire bat, I'm using that instead of a knife.
Are you like colloquially a vampire bat or a vampire bat, or does this bat have some kind of mysticism about it?
No, just a local, well, wherever vampire bats are indigenous to, one okay. From there.
All right.
I mean, me, I'm going baseball bat. I feel
right?
Like if you have like good knife skills or you're trained to use a knife, like, yeah, that's deadlier because you can kill someone instantly with it if you are using it correctly. But like for the average person, yeah, you take the one that is easy to swing and has longer reach. Like I'm not some sort of like ethereal assassin that can slide on my knees and slit your hamstrings open. If I'm going to take a baseball bat and I'm going to swing it around wildly like the woman from The Shining and hope that I connect before they get to me. That's how you self-defense.
The only argument I've really seen in favor of knife in this discourse is that, oh yeah, it's got the one-hit KO potential. So does a bat, bud.
Yeah, does a knife? I feel like people bleed out usually from knife wounds. They don't like.
I mean, if you stab them, if you stab them right in the heart, then that is they are collapsing on the ground within half a second.
I don't know if you hit them in the temple with a bat, like not even full force.
Yeah, I mean, hey, this is not an argument for knives. I'm just trying to
like devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
No, the bat's working man weapon.
Theoretically, you tape a knife to the end of a bat.
Holy shit.
You hammer some nails through the bat.
And then you
say,
oh my god,
what do we have here?
Hot diggity dog. This place is magnificent.
Or hear me out. What if we, and I think we might be the first people to do this, invented a weapon that has the sharpness of a knife, but like the length of a bat? Like we just widened it out. We just stretched it vertically.
Right. We'd be the first ones to think of that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You could even switch things up and have like a knife at the end of an even longer stick.
Mm.
So you get maximum reach.
No, I think you want the longest blade possible. And that blade, like if you were to hit someone with that, that would probably make them pretty sore, right? So we could call it like a sword, you know, like it makes you sore.
I don't know. That's kind of
something like that.
I think that's a stretch.
What weapon do you guys think you would be best suited for in
whatever
melee
is
combat?
Simplest, like a shield and a like a hammer, like a or like a mace.
A shield, interesting.
So yeah, I mean, like
I don't think I know how what to do with the shield.
You
like,
hold
I think,
it in between you and the person attacking you.
I think it would be used against me. Yeah, like if they like grabbed it or
this
something.
Is,
like
this
I don't...
is not like a 300 Spartan situation here. This is just a. I'm going to put this thing so that when they try to stab me, maybe it doesn't kill me.
What if they don't stab? What if they're like, what if they have like a bat and they're like grabbing the shield and it's like actually like pulling you off your balance? I don't know, man. A shield seems complicated.
What if they do that with whatever else you have? Like you got to have some sort of defense. And
it's not like a big wide.
If we don't know what we're doing, like, are you saying like what would we train with and get good at? Or
this is then
someone lays out a table. Like,
yeah.
You're
and they're like, let's
go. You got to fight to the death.
Yeah. Well, what are you going for?
Yeah. Probably like a hammer and what do they call it? I think it's a war hammer where it is still like one handed.
Oh.
Or a mace or something.
Okay.
Or like a spear. Again, something
simple. That's what I was
going
to say. Yeah. I was like, I think I'd want a pole arm. I think I'd want something that allows me to keep
distance.
My distance a little bit. Like if they try to mad rush me, just point it and let them stab themselves.
Nah,
basically.
Man, I'd have two knives and they'd be kept in the small of my back. And
wow.
I'd spin them out like this.
Yeah, be fucking lit.
Lucas, about you?
I gotta go with the wild card choice. I gotta lean into that. Nunchucks, not because I could use them effectively. Just I don't know what if other people would know how to deal with that.
I would just assume you'd have no idea what you're doing and just bum rush you. Like I just be like, it seems like these would suck to get hit by, but like, so would anything. So I'm just gonna go for it. Like
I maintain that the nunchuck fight in John Wick is like the stupidest scene I've ever seen in any movie. He's killing guys with body armor with nunchucks.
Andrew, if he's hitting them in the head, that's turning their brains to mush.
He's got body armor. They have helmets on.
Yeah, with helmets.
Oh, yeah, helmets stop concussions. Proven they don't by stop the
concussions necessarily, but they definitely stop you from dying. Like,
yeah, you can like hit. Get into a motorcycle accident with a helmet and like probably be okay.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, you might be a little concussed at the end of this fight, but you're alive, you're breathing. That's what matters.
And again, like you're talking about like concussions, you can cause a concussion with a human body. It's a thing we see every weekend because we're psychos. Like, choose any other weapon, my guy.
All right. Okay, if I'm not
doing, I thought you were going to say samurai sword because I'm looking at what's behind you.
If I'm not doing it for the memes, realistically, yeah, no, it's a sword. There's a reason why like every culture invented some version of a sword. For most of human history, that was the best way of killing each other we had. And maybe still true, minus guns.
Yeah, there's one thing guns. That might trump a sword a little
bit. Oh yeah, was that an option?
I said melee. I was like, okay. Anything handheld.
Hold on, can we get a bayonet? But like, there's just no ammo in the rifle.
Yeah,
that would totally count. A slightly worse spear.
Yeah, it's like a pole arm basically. Yeah. It's a shorter pole arm, I think. For sure, I think that would absolutely count. It would be hilarious to see someone with just a gun and they're like, why is he not shooting it? And it's like, oh, we didn't can't have give him bullets.
Bullets are banned.
And it would depend on the type of rifle. Is this like a muzzle loader from like the 1800s? Is this like an M1 Garand from World War II?
This is a minigun with a bayonet on it.
Like the length of the gun is gonna definitely impact the effectiveness potentially.
One of those like super old like Chinese rifles that are like 4 feet long.
There you go. That could work. I don't know. No. I think my first instinct is pole arm, just because of simplicity. And like if they get close to me, I'm dead anyway. So right. I'm just gonna hope to God I can keep them at bay. I think a sword is, I wouldn't know the first thing to do with a sword. I know you guys took martial arts training, so maybe
but
you
we didn't
have an
use
idea.
Swords. We didn't
there
use
was
swords.
No swords in your martial
no,
arts training?
No, we used
Scream of Sticks, kind of.
Those are this long. those are the length of a claw hammer. Again, that's the guy with the two knives out there getting fancy. bow staff? Yeah, sure. That's a really long stick that you can hit someone hard with.
Tape some knives onto the end of that. Now we're talking.
That's me. That's the bull arm. It's good stuff. We can do it.
Also on the podcast, Ryan Holtz. What's a good meme question for Ryan? I'm sorry.
Andrew, you're on the clock.
Oh, I got to come up with the memes?
Yeah.
Ryan, where's the next place you're going to send in a job application to?
Are you snapping?
Yeah, I'm snapping. I don't think we should do that.
Jesus Christ. Ryan, milk before cereal, cereal before milk. Do you even eat cereal?
Neither. Dry cereal, baby.
Really?
I eat dry cereal, man.
Wait, okay.
It gets soggy.
Do people put milk before cereal?
Yeah, I don't have an opinion on this matter because I don't ever put milk in my cereal, but I do feel like the answer is cereal before milk. I don't know.
Right.
Just instinctually, that would seem weird to pour milk in a bowl without anything else in it.
Because the cereal determines the volume. Like, you don't know how much milk you need until you pour the cereal.
Yeah, I mean, the answer is you need no milk, because any milk at all is, I mean, is ruining the cereal.
Just a little bit of milk. Just use, I guess, a small amount of milk. Make it not scratchy.
I think it depends on the cereal. Like,
yeah. So wait, what's a milk cereal for you?
Raisin Bran.
Yeah, Raisin Bran.
Yeah, I don't eat much Raisin Bran. I have eaten Raisin Bran, and yeah, I've done it dry, just for the raisins. It's like Lucky Charms mode, where it's just like, I could just eat a bunch of raisins, and it would be doing the same for me. Just buy a bunch of Sun-Made raisins. But like, you agree for like Cheerios and other like softer cereals, that'd be weird to, yeah, because it gets soggy almost instantly. People are like, you got to eat it quick. I'm like, within 5 seconds, it's already too wet for me.
No, you're being, you're exaggerating.
It's too fast.
You're arguing in bad faith.
I'm not.
Been a minute, but I think the argument. Lucky Charms. Marshmallows. Infinitely better dry. Lucky Charms might be designed to eat dry.
I say maybe don't eat cereal meant for children.
Wow, the judgment.
That stuff sucks, dude. Lucky Charms, Fruit Loops, all that shit.
Fruit Loops are pretty good. I'll go to bat for Fruit Loops. Lucky Charms, I agree. 100%. Not so much.
Andrew, you're telling me you don't have fond memories of like the every once in a while. When you're at a friend's house because their parents don't let you have it in your house, like a Reese's Puffs or a Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Okay, first off, Reese's Puffs might be the only exception. Like, Reese's Puffs, that is good. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, I hate that stuff, dude. It's so bad.
Okay. What about Frosted Flakes? That's for kids.
Frosted Flakes are good. Okay.
See?
There are a couple exceptions to the rule.
This is Andrew's version of not liking any biopics. It's like, no, you're just... you've just got some in your mind that you don't like, but there's good ones out there. I know there are.
Frosted Flakes is literally just, all right, how do we get these dumbass kids to eat cornflakes? And then once they're old enough, like, we explicitly label this children... So then they're peer pressured into eating like regular cornflakes, and that's where the money is.
Cornflakes were an anti-masturbation originally. So I don't think I can eat them just out of, I don't know.
If you eat cornflakes and then crank it, you're subversive.
It's the biggest F you to that guy to eat cornflakes John and Hardy then jerk off.
He was also a eugenicist, so I'll do an FU to that guy.
Every rich white guy during that era was a eugenicist.
Yeah, probably not wrong.
I think we should return to the ways of our forefathers and just mix hot water into our cereal. I think that's the best way to do that.
I can fuck with oatmeal, but it has to be cold out.
Cap'n Crunch? What's the consensus on Cap'n Crunch?
I don't know if I've ever had Cap'n Crunch.
I'm not a fan.
Never had Cap'n Crunch. Wow. Cocoa Pebbles?
I don't like it.
No. Weird texture.
Yeah.
Cookie Crisps?
Also a blank spot for me.
I don't think my parents let me have stuff that was that like overtly just dessert in a bowl kind of thing.
I definitely had that at a friend's place a couple of times. But yeah, I don't think my parents were ever like, yeah, get the cookie cereal. It was funny that like in the Community episode where they're making fun of Pierce with his cosplay, like dressing up as a wizard, because they're saying it makes him look like the Cookie Crisp wizard. And then Donald Glover has like a rant where he's just like, and that's not even a reference I get, because when I was a kid growing up, the Cookie Crisp mascot wasn't a wizard. It was a burglar. And I was sitting there like, when I was a kid growing up, it wasn't a wizard. It wasn't a burglar. It was a wolf. Like,
yeah.
There's that's a generation of because
it was like cookie crisp, and it would like howl and at the moon, and
there's a generational divide for Cookie Crisp. They have firmly delineated Gen X, millennial, and zoomers. Like, they have split us apart for sure.
Have you guys ever had Trix cereal?
Yeah, no, yeah. That's not good either.
No.
I like the yogurt, but I never had the cereal.
Trix yogurt?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have yogurt.
I think they're the go-gurt people too.
Yeah, it was like
they've
two
gotta
colors.
Be the go-gurt people.
There would be like a green side and a red side, and yeah, okay.
People don't like Fruit Loops. Do you not like Fruit Loops at all, Lucas?
Fruit Loops are fine dry. I actually make the argument like the best dry cereal.
I agree. Yeah. Maybe that's why. Maybe because I like dry cereal. That's why I like Fruit Loops, because they're good dry. No idea.
Maybe. They do taste really bad in milk. Oh, maybe they're good dry. Maybe
Andrew,
that would
on
change
it.
My mind. Okay.
Buy
I'm going to go buy a box of Fruit Loops.
Pour them into a bowl at, what is it, 7:38 p.m. on a Monday.
What else am I going to do?
Scooping them up.
I'm going to leave my microphone recording, and I'm going to go out to the store.
Yep.
And then come back.
You're going to get back, and we're going to get a live rendition, just a live tweet on a podcast of Andrew Ezekiel Elliotting a bowl of Fruit Loops.
I don't know if like anything is more of a sad man's dinner than like, 7:38 p.m. a bowl of Fruit Loops, and then you know what, whiskey on the rocks. Like that combination is just
Where did that come from?
You are bad. I don't know, because it's 7:30 p.m. I imagine you having a drink at this hour.
I don't think you're allowed to have alcohol with Fruit Loops. I think I think you get automatically arrested if you
that is an affront to the laws of man and God.
Yeah. Oh, you know there's a terrible cocktail combining those two out there.
I don't know that there is.
Fruit Loops whiskey?
Well, not whiskey, probably like a vodka or a gin
okay.
drink.
Fruit Loops. I can see them calling a drink a Fruit Loop. But there's no way that there's actually cereal in it.
I found one called the Fruit Loop. It's colorful and creamy. I'm about to...
There's no cereal in it.
There's absolutely cereal in it.
No.
Tipsybartender.com.
No.
For some reason, the recipe's not showing up, but you can see the picture of it.
Oh, God.
There's real cereal in that cocktail.
I found one.
It does. Yeah, what you'll need.
Oh, wait.
Fruit Loop vodka, blue Curacao, half and half Fruit Loops. Fuck.
It's creamy. They put milk in it.
Oh, no. There's half and half.
Yeah, they put milk
Fruit
in
Loop
it.
Vodka. Jesus Christ.
I found one on VinePair called the Toucan Sam. Great name. 2.9 stars.
Ooh. Mm. I'm shocked. What's their rendition? Does it have cream? They did put it in there.
Gin,
Campari, simple syrup, pineapple juice, lime juice, and Fruit Loops for garnish.
It still counts.
It's basically just gin and like fruit juice.
Yeah. That one's better. Like, not great.
Yeah, people don't love it, it seems. Are there reviews? I want to see a review.
Someone 3 stars, like, no. 2.9.
Yeah, I know it's got bad review ratings. I want to see if anyone wrote up a like, no. Whoever the Gerber group is, you should feel bad. Emily Saladino.
I mean, someone who probably had too many of those recently. His representative, Loen Boebert, an extremely right-wing...
Boebert?
I like Loen better.
Yeah.
Loren.
Let's be Loen.
I mean, come on. I should be respectful and get her name correct. Loen Boebert, an extremely right-wing... Yeah, wow, I have just lost the ability to talk.
Here, fine. Lucas, you've been talking for the last couple of hours. I got this headline.
Okay.
Do a little, like, tongue massage or something. It's fine. Okay. So, Representative Loen Boebert, an extramentally root-long politician from Ko Huao is Quanon Advocate, anti-Guy, and supported the Jan 6th attic on the U.S. Capitol building, was kicked out of a Chilead friendly production of Beetlejuice for vaping and being disruptiva, and also for giving her date in HJ.
Anyone else think Andrew got a little bit ooh voice in there?
Ooh.
Yeah. It's definitely the like, widowy. He widowy hit the gwitty. Just a little bit.
Yeah, so Lauren Boebert went to a Beetlejuice production, a live showing of Beetlejuice, and was like taking photos and videos and talking and vaping. I didn't see the giving her date.
Oh, you didn't see that video?
No, I did not.
Bro, they were brazen.
Yeah.
He was feeling her up, just like straight up as open as possible. And then, yeah, he reached down, or she reached down, and yeah, just in the middle of the street, in the row, people all around him.
Oh my God. Yeah. He's just,
oh, you found it?
Yeah. He's just like full on, like just,
yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I do love that they're like, everyone keeps saying child friendly, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. Like, it's a Broadway show. Yeah, yeah, like it's Beetlejuice. You know what Beetlejuice is. Like, everyone's like, this is like if they were jerking off to, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a kid's show. Like,
The Wiggles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, it's holy pretty wild.
Fuck, dude. This is nuts. They are really going at it. I thought it was going to be like a, and it looked kind of like her hand was placed on his crotch.
It's as blatant as possible.
Jesus.
Most people assumed the video was fake. It was so blatant. And then they're like, nah.
I did notice that in fucking reporting. And that's why I linked to TMZ in the app. Like WAPO, other outlets, really focused on her vaping and being disruptive as why she and her date were kicked out of the theater, and not like them doing sex acts in public.
Yeah, not them literally like potentially facing criminal charges for lewd and lascivious behavior.
This is how you get on a
sex offender list.
Yeah, definitely. This is what got Pee Wee Herman canceled. And he was in a porn theater.
Yeah, the only place where it's acceptable to jerk off in public. Well,
again, still no, but also like more understandable than a performance with a bunch of mixed company.
It's like the jury duty, where like the friend comes in as a character witness and is like, you were arrested for masturbating in a theater, right? It's like, yeah, that did happen. It's like, what was the movie? What was it, like Transformers 2?
Yeah. That was pretty gold.
Or no, it was Pacific Rim 2.
I think it was. Yeah, yeah. That sounds about right. Yeah, I don't know. I was shocked by that video.
I wouldn't have included this in the doc. This was social media discourse for a day or two, but yeah, no, the difference maker for me, why I decided to include it, is that Lauren Boebert, or however you pronounce her name, yeah, very anti-gay, very drag shows are corrupting our children, which is just farcical that she would do that and do this, like do a sex act in public and then be like, no, the gay people are actually a danger, actually corrupting the youths. But then also she's a nut job who is pro the January 6th capitalist riot. She was like, no, those are my guys out there. Yeah.
Constantly getting in feuds with Marjorie Taylor Greene about like who's the craziest Trump woman. Yeah. Who's the one that's really pro Trump? Yeah. I do love that, because yeah, people talk about like leftist discord all the time. Yeah. And then it's like, well, I think people just there's definitely a level where you get so similar to someone that you end up not seeing eye to eye anymore.
Yeah. I mean, the whole Republican Party right now is like pretty divided. Like I would say the House and the Senate, like the actual politicians themselves are pretty divided on just how extreme to be. There's the really, really bad guys, and then there's the really, really, really bad guys who are fighting over who's worse, the ones that are almost identical to them and how heinous they are, or black people.
Yeah, I did see that Mitt Romney is, I forget if he's retiring or not running for re-election.
He's not running for re-election.
He's not running.
So that is an older, more powerful figure in the Republican, or an interesting figure in the Republican
Party.
Yeah, not
more powerful
stepping down.
No.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell is very publicly circling the drain. That's going to be another internal power struggle, probably.
Romney was probably going to face a primary, too. That's the part that people aren't talking about here.
Yeah, like, he just doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, like, it's smart. And I, like, honestly, in the last few years, he sometimes seems like the only somewhat sane person. I know he's got horrendous views on a lot of issues. But, like, yeah, like, at the same time, he was probably going to face a primary because he literally voted to impeach Donald Trump rather publicly. And it became a whole thing. So... yeah, he was like, I'm fucking old. We're all old. Like, why are we not stepping down? This is insane. And yeah. It's like, it's time for Vivek Ramaswamy versus Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Let's get the Utes in here. Let's see what happens.
Vivek?
It's like 38, I think.
Oh,
is he really? I thought he was 45.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I might have to make sure and check myself here. Yeah, he's 38. So
damn,
that's the next phase, you guys, that we get to look forward to. AOC versus Vivek, and we get to hear people like equivocate between them that, like, really both sides are bad. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, hey, I mean, Vivek said that he wants to, like, take away voting rights from, like, half the population, and, you know, wants to, like, actively make the planet even worse. But AOC said sometimes taxes aren't that bad.
AOC was a bartender. So pretty, like, both
you
sides
tell
are
me
pretty
who's
bad.
Worse.
Yeah, yeah. No, like, I agree. I agree with you. But, like, let's not pretend that one side isn't equally bad. Yeah.
I heard she shortchanged someone one time at that bar. Equally bad. I can't trust her with political money if she can't give someone correct change.
We had that in Burbank this week because our mayor was seen at a drag show. So then that blew up. And then, like, he's a very progressive leftist, actually, like, as progressive a leftist mayor you'll ever get in Southern California. And then he, like, a couple days later, rather than, like, lay low and, like, let things... just like, that's stupid that this was a controversy in the first place. He was quoted saying, like, I mean, eventually, like, the police shouldn't be a thing. It's like, oh, yeah, you nailed it, buddy. Like, you're not saying I disagree with you, but, like, damn, you're really picking your timing here as a politician in a place that has a lot of, like, old Hollywood money running through it. Like, good luck, my guy.
He's got my vote. I can't vote for him, but yeah, it's my vote.
We also don't get to vote on mayor in Burbank. It's a city council position, and, like, the mayor is just a figurehead for, like, it's just a member of the city council that is the mayor, but they're they don't have any more power than any other members of the city council. So, but at the same time, you know, they represent the city more than anyone else. They have their name gets plastered everywhere. So yeah, it's like, interesting choice, my guy. But hey, sometimes you just gotta stand up for whatever you believe in, even if you're not politically aligned with timing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. A bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it works out for him.
And Burbank's also going to, like, representative voting this coming year, which is insane. Like, because it used to be all the city council seats were just at large. You could just, the whole city could vote on them. And now they're, like, they're forcing it to be districted. Like, you can only vote for, you have one representative on the council for your district of the city, because there's, like, an old California rule written into elections that, like, it's okay to, like, do at large elections for this type of thing. Unless a member of a minority group sues you, then you have to do districting. Like, it's a very weird rule. So yeah, then, like, some conservative Hispanic business owner sued the city because there was no conservative representation on the city council. And now we're going to have a completely new city council, probably. So what can you do?
I don't know. I don't know what you can do unless you find an F-35, in which case, I guess, call the government. What's going on here?
Did you guys not see this?
I didn't.
No.
This is so funny. So in one of the Carolinas, the U.S. military, you know, they were doing some jet flying around, some training, and something went wrong and the pilot had to eject. But not like, it wasn't like, oh God, my plane is going down right now, I'm ejecting. He ejected and the plane just kept flying. They don't know where it went. I don't think it just went out into the ocean. Like they're looking in like lakes. Like they don't know where it fucking went. They put out a call saying, hey, if you have any information, call the government and tell them where it is.
They don't
this
have
is a fucking $1 billion plane.
They don't have those things chipped. They don't have a fucking Apple tile in
there.
They do.
They're supposed to know where every single one of these things is at any given moment. And like you could tell from like flight path and trajectory. Like they should know exactly where it went. But and they probably have like a general idea of like, oh, it was in this, you know, area and it's dense and we got to like get people in there to look for the wreckage or something. But the way that they just made it seem, it was like the, have you seen this man? Call local police station if you have. It was like a silver alert for a fucking fighter jet.
They've located a debris field in Williamsburg County.
So, oh, really? I saw an update an hour ago that said they still had no idea.
Yeah. 2 hours ago, personnel from Joint Base Charleston, in close coordination with local authorities, located a debris field in Williamsburg County, discovered 2 hours northeast of JB Charleston. But if you came across an F-35 wreckage, are you calling it in right away?
Not right away. No.
Are you in a video game?
I'm stripping some high-tech pieces from this wreckage.
In a video game, are you perusing through that F-35 wreckage and just seeing what you could see, worth $3 million that you could retire.
High-tech communication devices, a jet engine, and a Sidewinder missile, that's going to end up in the back of a rickety pickup truck.
And then they're just like, oh, it's weird. There's two sets of tire tracks coming out here already. Oh, I don't know, man. That's crazy. I don't know how that happened. And they've got like the Tesla feature with the Guardian or whatever. They've got the cameras on the side of the jet just watching you walk up and just like
carrying away
shit.
Like a fucking missile.
Comically struggling to carry all the loot that you've recovered.
And I've got like a winch hooked up to my truck that I hook onto the engine and I just drive away with it.
The blue check marks are sure going off underneath this tweet.
Are they?
Immediately top most like post underneath that tying this to the Ukraine.
Oh yeah,
they always do.
Yeah. Well, we got a nice well, back in my day, this never would have happened type post. An attempt at a meme from the drunk Republican.
How much would you get for turning it in? You think
probably
there's
nothing.
Any reward? No, nothing.
They didn't mention one.
Damn. I'm sure they'd give you at least like $1,000. It's like, oh, thanks.
I'm sure they would say like, and we'll get the local news station to, you know, give you a 10-second, you know, comment of, I was just driving around and then I found it.
Yeah. Sure hope no one was in there. Aliens.
Yeah, it's just a dude with like a Antifa flag patch on his arm and sunglasses and a mask on, be like, I don't know what they're talking about, missing pieces. That's crazy.
Yeah, what?
This is, I'm sorry, I'm going through the rabbit hole of these like U.S. military affiliated but not actually run by them social media accounts. Super fucking weird. So Andrew, the tweet you linked, Joint Base Charleston, I think that's just a Marines fan account.
No, this is the official account of
the military base, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their tagline is, "We like planes, subs, and lightning within five. Not afraid to hear your hot takes on military news. Join the conversation."
Yeah, yeah, dude, because they want engagement. They're fucking... Have you... The military is so hard up for trying to get
the military to Twitch.
Yeah. The most recent military recruitment ad that I've seen is literal. Like, I mean, I know they're supposed to be like 17 and 18 years old because that's how old you are when you join the military. But like, they're getting on a school bus. It's like the parents are sending them away for the first day of school and they get on the school bus and the school bus takes them to a military base where they get off and like are given combat boots.
But then the base that they are adding and is, I guess, actually running the search for this F-35, MCAS Beaufort, who in their banner, they have the quote, "The noise you hear is the sound of freedom." And then in their bio, "Follows, likes, retweets, and links do not constitute as endorsement."
Yeah. Because
why are you running a U.S. military affiliated social media account and liking shit? What are
because they're trying to get engagement. Yeah,
they're trying to get engagement.
They're finding cool military, you know, blowing up shit that they're putting out on there. They want that on their feed. And the reason that they say like, oh, this doesn't count as endorsement is because then if the next tweet from that person is the N-word, which it probably is, they don't want to like claim culpability.
There's nothing that they can do like to not be memesters, like, and the only way that they can legitify it to their superiors is to be like, we've got to get engagement. Like, this is the only way to do it. Like, the only reason they even have social media accounts is looking for that engagement. So they are going to do whatever it takes. Like, I literally, Joint Base Charleston, their second most recent piece of media is just the Scar gif from The Lion King, his song, where he's singing Be Prepared, talking about the hurricane that's coming to South Carolina. And it's just Scar going like, "Be prepared." It's a military base. Why not?
I don't know, man. I'm fucking old. And like, if they're memeing for the sake of recruitment, of getting the kids in here, these memes are what's more than stale.
Yeah.
Dude, this is the military.
Yeah.
This is not the most creatively fertile set of minds in America, you know? These people operate within a really strict framework. Right.
The recruitment of the military is trying to find people that are able to fall in line and be molded into killing machines. Like, it's not, yeah, you're not going to get many free thinkers. You're not going to get many Shane Lindens just like making dank memes in their basement. Like, no, this is people that want to follow orders. This is people that aren't going to be saying much.
The people that they get that are, you know, technologically capable of running a social media account or doing, you know, techie kind of stuff, aren't doing it because they hired them to do that job. They found the only person that was, you know, close enough to capable. And usually it's because they weren't good enough at anything else. Like the guy that leaked all the fucking Pentagon documents on the War Thunder forum. Like, that was a scrawny, nerdy guy that just probably couldn't do anything else. So he did computer stuff and got mad when he got shit talked in a forum.
And I mean, like, a lot of this too is just like an extension of the PR arm of the military, which does have like a pretty extensive apparatus. And so, yeah, it's going to sound really old. There's going to be a lot of like official press releases and stuff mixed with like, yeah, random memes that are pretty bad. So yeah, no, I don't know. I'm not going to follow them. I don't recommend you do either.
Don't follow the U.S. military, listeners.
Yeah. Andrew, did you see all the stuff that blew up on, there's that one like apparently Russian guy on Twitter that was like, look at the North Korean military. Like, what is the NATO forces going to do against this or something? And it's just a bunch of like shitty, like, military exercises that these North Korean soldiers are doing with like sticks and stuff. Like they're like hitting people with sticks. And every single reply is just mercilessly clowning on them. Just like, I don't know, these guys hitting each other with sticks when, you know, a 19-year-old zonked out on Mountain Dew presses the button on their drone controller to eliminate their existence in the blink of an eye. Like, yeah.
God, you know the military has looked into that. You know they've looked into, hey, if we map these drone controls to an Xbox controller, does average efficiency just go up? I feel like maybe.
It's my understanding that the drone operators do very little flying. That's at least with some of the models, is that like the drones kind of fly themselves, and all they're doing is just kind of like identifying target areas and clicking fire.
Like, they like fly on a path. They're designated a path. And I think the drone controllers probably do that too. They say like, fly to this location.
Right.
Do this not maneuver.
Like steering it. It's like
the controller they have is the camera that says, okay, kill that square block.
Yeah, right. I see a glowing white thing there. Let's kill it. Oh, it's a school. Oh, oops. Oopsie daisy.
It's fine. It was through a camera screen. It doesn't count. No. This murder.
Well, we need ChatGPT and the Pentagon to make these decisions for us.
Yeah.
Speaking of technology and people fucking shit up with it, expedited version, Unity, the popular and widely used game engine, they kind of stepped in it, wanting to update their terms of service to be wildly, wildly less favorable to developers. And that's why CEO John Riccitiello is the inspiration for the bad guy in No More Heroes 3. He just sucks. And he always has.
Is he really?
Yeah. You know, like
insider trading and dumped 2,000 shares right before they announced this.
Yep.
It's fun.
And there have been updates since I last posted this. Now it kind of seems like they're doing that relatively new business strategy, at least on a widely used scale of... So we presented the worst possible version, like the worst thing that we could do. What if we only do like half of that? We're listening to you guys. Isn't this so much better now that we're not hitting like the nuclear bomb button? Yeah, we're just doing something like still very shitty, but it's not the worst thing we could possibly do. Don't you guys love us?
Yeah, I love you, Unity.
Yeah.
You're my father. I don't know. The death of Unity, though? Like when that feels like hyperbole, right? Like it's still going to very much be a profitable endeavor that's going to continue for a long time, in the same way that like every company that gets quote unquote canceled just continues.
Nobody gets canceled. No, when was the last time somebody got actually canceled? Some people get mad and then they say, this is what being canceled is, and then nothing in their life changes at all.
So it's kind of my understanding these changes pitched to Unity. A widely popular game, Vampire Survivors, uses Unity. With the new budgeting restrictions imposed in this change, like Vampire Survivors couldn't exist. Like the people making the game wouldn't be making money right now. If they suddenly had to give whatever percentage Unity would be requiring them to give to them.
Right. But like the business is going to continue because they'll just adjust things until they find the right balance of fucking over developers while also allowing them to continue to make them money. Like, I don't know.
The problem is they already have, like within the structure of Unity as a company, it's like, hey, so this specific engine, like this part of the company that like maintains and updates Unity as a technology, that does not make us money. That does not directly contribute revenue. All of the things around that, the advertising that is allowed around that, the contracting, the already pretty controversial work, and tying it back to the US military, that the Unity engine has been used for in creating military training exercises and drone piloting programs, that's what makes them money. like the engine itself that doesn't do that. And it's widely believed that this change was made not to keep Unity profitable, but to like maximize revenue in every part of this company, which is just not tenable with the structure of the company as it exists currently.
We're going to see. It'd be funny if they just kill themselves, like, because that's basically what people are saying, is they are committing suicide. And it's like, I don't have enough vitriol towards our system to be like, yeah, that company's just committing suicide. Like, I feel like there's a game, there's a play here that they're going for. I don't know, like, I've never heard of Vampire Survival. Like, I don't know if they're just trying to pivot towards like major AAA developers and not cater to indie developers. I just don't know. Like, I find it hard to believe that they're just putting the gun to their temple and pulling the trigger just because. I don't know.
But then the CEO dumped 2,000 shares. So
yeah. Well, you knew it would take a hit.
Poorly received. Yeah.
He wanted to make money now. Like, he was going to sell shares and he knew the stock was going to take a hit at the very least temporarily. And so,
but isn't that insider trading?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, so like, yeah, business wise, I get why what he did makes sense, but the possibility of going to jail or getting fined more money than you make from that deal doesn't make sense.
I mean, 2,000 shares is it's trading at $33 a share. So that's what? That's 60 grand. Like, it's not nothing, but it's definitely not like he made millions and then rode away on his white horse, you know. Like, I think his lawyer, if he's got a good enough lawyer, is just going to argue that it was a regular stock sale that he makes every year and there was no foul play. Like, you do have to prove beyond a somewhat reasonable doubt that it was actual insider trading. And if his lawyer has records that like he offloads similar amounts of stock every year and around that time, then yeah.
And I believe John Riccitiello's lawyer did get him off of a sexual harassment charges. There you go. So
very he's got a great lawyer.
Yeah.
He's
good enough,
set.
At least.
Yeah.
We're also set to get a couple of Nintendo games via Direct on the 14th. Highlights include Mario versus Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong is back to being a bad guy. That feels important. What?
Donkey Kong, why?
What?
Donkey Kong's good. He's good, monkey.
Maybe he's been slacking. Maybe he's like in a bad headspace, falling back on old habits.
Is that what you do when you get in a bad headspace? You just go supervillain mode and try to kill people?
I mean, I do revert to like old comfort sometimes. And like, maybe
Donkey Kong was that guy at one point, you know?
He's not comfortable if he's not throwing barrels, trying to mercilessly murder a little plumber guy. That's his comfort zone. That's healing to Donkey Kong.
That's his inner child.
Yeah.
This is very important to Donkey Kong's mental health. How dare we
try to
take this away from him?
Seriously, like, are we an ally or not, you guys? Like, mental health awareness. Come on.
Princess Peach Showtime is out in March. She's saving a theater from the Wicked Grape and transforming into the leads from different plays showing in the theater. I'm going to play this. I'm kind of excited about this. I like that Mario games are returning to being stage plays. That's a fun nod for me personally.
Has Princess Peach ever had a game where she's the standalone main character before? I've never heard of them.
DS or Game Boy Advance game in the aughts. It was pretty good, but also problematic since a mechanic in the game is literally how do we keep Princess Peach from crying?
Known crier, Princess Peach. You go back to the OG game, she's always crying.
Women and emotions, am I right?
Yeah, this woman that's constantly being kidnapped and held against her will. Oh man, why she gotta make a big deal out of everything?
Yeah. By a giant mutant monkey or a giant mutant snapping turtle. She never like a person. No. Never just a regular person.
Not even this time. Now it's a weird puppet? I don't know what Wicked Grape is. She's weird. I'm excited to find out. First three Tomb Raider games getting a remaster coming to Switch. That's weird considering the IP's recent sale to Embracer and that company's financial woes.
Is that the one where there you can toggle between the graphics settings or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that. People were like, how did like the Grand Theft Auto trilogy and other like recent remakes not consider something like that? Like, that's insane. I remember that for Halo 2 remaster.
Oh.
Back in college when for the Master Chief Collection, you could just toggle between graphics settings with the push of a button. But it's not.
I mean, Rockstar doesn't give a shit about their history. They give a shit about making all the money.
There you go.
From Atlas, tactics game Unicorn Overlord looks interesting. I hope company restructuring means that it doesn't have questionable politics. But also, they're packing a lot of titty into some of those sprites. So who knows?
Unicorn Overlord. You heard it here first.
There's a new F-Zero game, F-Zero 99. I think F-Zero fans are mad, but I personally think that's the best way to bring that franchise back.
F-Zero 99?
Yeah. F-Zero 99.
It's like zero, but also 99.
Yeah. There's none, and also 99 of them.
Which is the highest number.
I like to think this is F-Zero through 99.
They made 99 sequels in one game.
Well, technically it would be 100 because zero is a number in this.
Zero was the original.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah, I'm saying that this is F and then 100 Fs.
So what's the first one if the first one's F-Zero?
F.
Is that a game? that zero doesn't count?
No, F-Zero is actually a prequel. There was F-Zero, which takes place before F, and then the other 99 Fs.
There you go.
Or 98 Fs.
Yeah, it's like how earthquakes, like, they become a foreshock or an aftershock based on when the biggest earthquake is, not anything else scientific.
Oh.
Like, just like, they adjust whether you were the real earthquake, the foreshock, or the aftershock, just based on when the biggest one happened. That made me go, like, I kind of thought there was like a scientific thing going on here. Like, some you'd read about like the big San Francisco earthquake that like burned down the entire city, and it's like there was 3 foreshocks in the days leading up to the main earthquake, and then there was dozens of aftershocks in the days after. And it's just like, so it's literally just they thought those were the earthquakes in those first 3 days, and then realize, no, they were foreshocks because a bigger one came along and we're just arbitrarily assigning it that's the real one.
I mean, I have a geologist I can hit up for this info. Are foreshocks and aftershocks, like, are they different than just actual earthquakes? So they're just smaller earthquakes that happen around
they're just smaller earthquakes that they're deciding.
Yeah, you could have a foreshock.
Foreshocks.
You could have a foreshock or an aftershock that is like much bigger than just an earthquake that's on its own.
Yeah, but if after it or before it there was an even bigger one, they're demoted to foreshock or aftershock.
Dumb.
I don't know. Oh, they also have a name for the earthquake, and it's a main shock.
Fuck you.
Horny on main shock.
Oh. There's also going to be a remake of Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door, which is my understanding that is the best Paper Mario RPG game. So, happy to congrats to those folks. There was also a Sony State of Play that day that was also much worse. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is out in February. Cloud's on a Segway. Foam Stars has an open beta. That's everything I thought worth noting.
Wow.
I
got nothing from me.
I did see, I mean, I didn't watch it. There was like a couple days later, I saw like a link to an article that was like, everything announced at Sony State of Play. And it was like 3 things.
Yeah.
They're working on a new Death Stranding. Maybe they announced that one a little early because we have not gotten a follow-up. And
they announced Death Stranding like 4 years before it came out.
That's true.
That's how video games work now.
We got a steady clip of like trailers for that, though. I feel like we rarely went more than 8 months without getting some kind of taste, some kind of hit.
They have like no IP still. Like, how long has the PS5 been around? Like, is this 3 years now or 4 years?
It will be third year. Yeah.
It is so long that there are already rumors circulating about like a PlayStation 5 Pro,
right,
which
the mid.
Yeah.
We do not fucking need that.
And there's just still no real like major
games.
Yeah. Console lifespan defining games that have come out.
I mean, like, and Xbox is like just hitting that shit now because of all the acquisitions they made. Like, that's bearing fruit just in the last, you know, I would say less than a year. But they got games. Like, there are sequels to established IP that Sony has put out on the PlayStation 5 that have all been good, you know, but they're not like era defining, like you said. They are just good sequels to games that already existed.
The only thing interesting I will say about Foam Stars is that, well, this is very obviously a Splatoon ripoff. It's kind of leaning into the capitalism dystopia of Splatoon in a similar way, except saying this shit rocks, actually. This game just takes place in not Las Vegas. And I think every character you can play as is some kind of influencer. And they're doing this as a part of like a social media hustle. That's the only reason they're competing. And it's so flagrant that it almost becomes endearing to me.
Wait, so did Splatoon have a story? I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, Splatoon is happening in the aftermath of a climate apocalypse, largely driven by capitalism.
What?
Yeah.
Never heard this in my entire life.
That's what's going on there.
I thought the story of Splatoon was like, what if there were like squid guys and they just like sprayed things at each other?
Yeah, those are the inheritors of the Earth after humanity has destroyed it irreparably.
Are you like, is this a prank though? Like, are you being for real? Is there a campaign or is this all like lore?
No, there's a campaign.
Is a Splatoon campaign?
Yeah.
What? Series centers around terrestrial cephalopods and those inklings and octolings can transform between humanoid and cephalopod forms at will. Turf war battles. Where's the okay, gameplay, I don't care. Development, I don't care. Reception, I don't care. They don't have a plot on the Wikipedia. Is this, Andrew, did you know this?
I mean, I've never played Splatoon, either version. I know,
but you're familiar. Like,
I know that there were squid kids that sprayed shit at each other. Yeah. I knew as much as you did. That's it.
Here's an article in 2021. Splatoon is set after a climate apocalypse.
The single-player Octo Valley mode tells the main story of the game. Many years into the Great Turf War, with the hope of invading the Inkling's world, the Octarians built an underground facility known as Octo Valley. After the disappearance of the Zapfish from the Inkling's world, the protagonist wearing the hero suit must infiltrate the base and rescue all the Zapfish. Is it, though? Like, that sounds like you added the climate apocalypse and others. Lucas I don't think wrote... you came up with the theory, like...
I mean, that's the title of this article.
With creatures of the surface driven to extinction by rising sea levels, the ancestors of Inklings were free to haul their 10-legged bodies up to the abandoned land. This is how the mollusk era began.
Did you play Splatoon?
Yeah.
Okay, and you agree that yes, 100% this game was intended to be literally 100, like, climate apocalypse. The squids were the only ones to survive.
And the octolings. Yeah.
Can't forget about the octolings.
There's some powerful racism metaphors, race relation metaphors going on in Splatoon 2, I believe.
Huh. First race war.
I almost want to play it now, just to like guarantee that I'm not just being gaslit right now. Like, what? Literally, what?
They're doing a Fallout thing where, not quite a Fallout thing, where like hype beast culture is the thing they like inherited. They picked up artifacts of, and that's what just like they evolved around instead of white people shit from the 1950s.
I mean, like, Fallout isn't like a little cute nod towards something. Like,
it's so
that's
overt.
The whole game is the fact that nuclear bombs went off and drove people underground. Like, I'm reading it. It's all based on like loading screens where they made little subtle nods to like, haha, maybe this is in the future. And I don't even know about climate apocalypse. It just seems like an apocalypse happened in general. I don't know where the climate necessarily came
into
play.
Yeah, I think I saw a picture of like the Eiffel Tower was upside down.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't...
Climate change, man. It's fucking rough. The Eiffel... Our oceans are rising. Our animals are dying. Our Eiffel Towers are getting turned upside down.
You know, the tagline for this would be like climate. Climate always changes.
That'd be a really good old title.
It hurt my throat.
Yeah, and then the only other piece of nerd media that I have to report on. Apparently Elon Musk made Amber Heard cosplay Mercy from Overwatch while they were dating.
They were dating?
Yep.
When?
I don't know. After Johnny Depp.
Moving on.
I heard he's got another fucking kid with Grimes. He's got three kids with Grimes. I thought they broke up with after the first one.
Didn't the one have like a even worse name somehow?
I think they did sneak a hyphen into one of their kids' names. Yeah.
There was a hyphen in the first one, and they legally had to change it because the government said, like, that's not a character that's allowed.
But anyway, now that Musk has ruined being horny for Overwatch characters, I think that game is, like, officially finally dead.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Sucks.
It was fun for a little bit.
Yeah.
Wait, so why are we not allowed to be horny towards Overwatch characters?
Oh, because Elon Musk did it. He ruined it.
Well, what? Okay. That's not the reason to not be horny. Like, they...
Hitler like brunettes. Are we not?
Every bad person is into something. You can't just cut all of that out because another bad person also likes it.
I don't know, man. It just kind of feels like making a 69 joke now. Like, Elon Musk did it too much, and it's just like, eh, this is tainted. This isn't pure
anymore. It was always dumb to be horny towards Overwatch characters.
Yeah.
Elon Musk's most recent kid is named Techno Mechanicus.
No.
So, there you go.
Jesus Christ.
His nickname is Tau.
What? Like,
give the kids
Greek
a chance.
Letter?
Probably, yeah.
Max is right there.
No, I don't think they're thinking about anything other than edgelord shit.
Yeah. They do not give a shit about the life of this child.
I wonder
they're
going to
get
some...
a lot of money and probably grow up hating their parents. It's fine.
I wonder if some weird backwards way, like Elon is actually encouraging his kids to be some kind of queer, to be trans, and then that way, like, that nothing to do with them. You know? Like, he's been so terrible that he's forcing, like, that's their only option to be rid of them, to be rid of
Elon. He's the only one actually grooming kids to be non-binary
by being so terrible and also being like, well, you know, if you're trans, I have nothing to do with you. That's the only out of this situation.
I thought that you were just saying that he was like taking them to drag shows and like being like, that's really cool, like, I'd be really proud of you if you were like those people. And then oh wow, that's fucked up, like, I don't have anything to do with you.
The exact
opposite.
I don't have a segue into this one. DraftKings made a never forget parlay around the Mets, Yankees, and Jets all winning on September 11th.
That's so great. That's legendary.
Oh my God.
The random associate who came up with that. It was probably like called the New York parlay or something.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, we've got a chance here to do something special.
Did they win? Did all three teams win?
I don't know. They canceled the parlay, though. Like, they pulled it down.
Okay.
Well, you could still make the parlay. Right, they just didn't call it the Never Forget Parlay and then promote it for you. Like, they didn't say all bets are off. Us calling it the Never Forget Parlay means it's all invalid.
Nope. Mets didn't win.
Yeah, it looks like the Mets lost to the Diamondbacks.
Letting down. I mean, it's the Mets, so they do this anyway. Actually, you know what? That's probably more in the spirit of New York for the Mets to lose than the opposite.
It's all about the Mets, baby.
Come on. Let's go, man. Let's get a home run.
Come on, Spider-Man. I still think that's one of my favorite TikToks of all time.
It's not all about money, Spider-Man. It's about
the money, Spider-Man. It's about the Mets, baby. Come on, Mets. Wait, did the Yankees didn't play on 9/11? So I don't know.
Did they not?
It was the game surrounding that? I don't know.
Did I see the screenshot? Is it fake?
Oh no.
Did we all consume misinformation on the internet?
No.
I did see this though, so I feel like it's real.
Right.
Wait, did the Jets? Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I really fucked up my throat. That's not good. This has happened once before. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Do you have a torn ACL like Aaron Rodgers?
He does.
Aaron Rodgers tore his torn Achilles.
Torn Achilles. Fuck. This was the early reporting I was going off of.
He's built different. They're not the same. His ACL is strong. He might come back, though.
Did you hear him say that he would come back for the Super Bowl?
They're saying mid-January now. That's his potential timetable to return.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless we invented like leg transplants, I don't. Okay.
Basically, that's what it is. Yeah, they're like, this is a new experimental surgery with potential timetable to recover by mid-January. And it's like, yo, what?
Well, I mean, Cam Akers did it 2 years ago. Yeah. He was out for 5 months.
That's what they're saying. Cam Akers was another early.
Cam Akers was 22 years old.
Yeah. No, of course it's insane, but people are saying that, yeah, they use the same technique as Cam Akers and it's gotten better and more refined. And there's a very real chance that he'd be ready to play by mid-January.
It's still crazy to me that there's obviously, more cutting edge stuff when it comes to like high profile people and sports where this stuff happens all the time. They've got basically unlimited, medical funds and the best doctors.
Unlimited supplies of human growth hormone. Yeah.
Yeah. Like all, crazy shit that makes your body heal crazy fast. And, they get the opportunity to basically rehab like all day long, every day as their job. But like, if I tear my Achilles, I'm in a walking boot on a scooter for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the timetable for a regular person.
Yeah,
two
say, for a
fucking
normie,
years.
You think a billionaire is doing that? Like, no, a billionaire is getting the same shit.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of access.
There was a guy that when I joined the company that I work with, the day that I started, he was in a boot on a scooter. First time I met him, and I was like, oh man, what happened? And he's like, oh, like a couple months back, I tore my Achilles playing soccer. When he quit, like 18 months after that, he wheeled himself into the elevator on that same scooter. The man still couldn't walk.
Yeah, man. And yeah, that's what people are afraid of with our healthcare system moving forward, is like there is going to be great access to a lot of things that are going to really improve life for a lot of people, but not for most. That's for sure. So yeah,
when the Live Forever stuff comes out, it'll be relegated to the rich for multiple reasons,
right?
But like the most obvious one being that they're going to be the only ones that can afford to live forever, because it will just come down to money. And none of us here are going to be able to pay the live forever money.
I don't know, man. You get more years to make money.
It's an indentured servitude kind of thing. They give you the make forever drugs as long as you are working for them and making them money.
Yeah, or paying them.
You guys get
off in installments. You have unlimited time to pay money.
It's going to be a regular thing. They're not going to just like boop you and say, okay, you're good forever. They're going to say, you got to come in once a year for this treatment.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are getting weirdly close to the plot of Armored Core 6. but we can't leap into that because we got to talk about other people fighting, doing what they can to improve their quality of life. United Auto Workers are striking. Demands include things like the restoration of pensions lost during the 2008 auto crisis. They're also trying to get a 4-day work week, which, hey, if auto workers have that, I feel like everyone gets that. They should.
Yeah. A heavily unionized, specialized labor force gets something. That does mean that all of us peons with no unification whatsoever get it.
It's problematic thinking, but I think auto worker is like the pictured blue collar job when you say blue collar job.
Yeah.
If a blue collar job gets 4-day work weeks, everyone should get 4-day work weeks.
Everyone should, but that's not because auto workers have it, just because that would be better for everyone's work-life balance. But no, they have a powerful union with like actual skills that are needed and cannot be replaced very easily. Like they can make these demands because of labor organization, and we cannot, and we will not. Even if by a miracle they get something like that, us normies who work at a desk are absolutely not getting that.
And while I don't have a ton of updates on this one, because this is relatively new, ripples are already being felt by this strike, just by the nature of what auto production is in the U.S., where a lot of these factories are very specialized and creating specific components to be used and added further to assembly at other plants. Plants besides the ones that are striking are having to shut down because of this, because they don't have the parts to make the cars because of the strike.
The economy of the state of Michigan in particular is going to fucking tank.
Why do they should get what they're striking for?
Yeah. We're all in agreement on that one.
Fucking Barack Obama scored more political points off that shit. I'm sick of fucking Obama, you guys. Shit sucks. He's objectively better than most of what we deal with. But goddamn, everyone loves him way too much, and it's painful. Mm. Like, that makes it so much worse. It's like everyone's kind of in on the game that Biden sucks. So it's like, cool. You don't have to hate him as much. But everyone fucking loves Barack Obama. And this is the dude that shut that shit down in 2008. And now he's being like, I stand in solidarity with the United Auto Workers after he's left office and gets to just be the cool guy that everyone loves, when like he's the one that caused it. He is the reason they are on strike right now. Like, it's so fucking frustrating, man. Like, to watch people just fawn over him when he gets to do this shit. Like, he clicked the win button by being charismatic and not as bad as the guy who came after him. Like, yeah, so frustrating. Can't stand it.
Mm.
Me, a white nationalist, clasping arms, hating Barack Obama with just a righteous indignation.
I had a moment where I was with my in-laws this weekend, and what else are we going to do other than go to the local tractor pull? All of the trucks had like fuck Biden stickers, and my in-laws were like pointing and laughing and taking pictures and stuff, and I was like, haha, I agree, but for opposite reasons.
Right.
You and I would see eye to eye in a lot of things, but none of the logic backing up those things.
Wait, were they actually a fuck Biden, or were they the let's go Brandon stickers?
No, they were fuck Biden.
Oh, yeah, so they're finally saying it. They finally
they've dropped the pretense.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right. Yeah. Respect that more than being coy with it.
You hate Barack Obama because he wore a tan suit. I hate Barack Obama because he destroyed the working class in the United States.
We are
not the same.
I did have one for the clasped hands with the white nationalist. Oh my God, you hate Barack Obama because he's the most successful neoliberal too, right? And I was like,
yeah.
I mean, I hate him because he's a liberal. Other stuff too, but yeah, that's a part of it.
Right. Barack Obama's the perfect representation of the left in the United States shifting disgustingly to the center, to the point where no one who makes below $100,000 a year can even survive. Right? That's why? Totally, man.
Mm.
No, you hate him because he's a Muslim. Oh, okay. Cool.
Damn.
Great.
Don't make me defend Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Because I will, but I won't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know how sick I have to feel when I like have to fucking defend Biden? Like the shit that he does. And it's like, oh my God, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to me.
Yeah.
is like just put down my actual moral standing to defend someone that I don't like because you're going at them in such the wrong way.
I was listening. There was a guest on a podcast I like recently who made the argument like, I mean, you know, regardless of what you feel about Biden, I think you have to argue that he's a very successful president. And I'm just like, you know, that's worse, right? Like, I don't know if I agree with you, but if you think this is what success looks like, you are admitting that this is a fundamentally fucked system. And that it,
I would
like,
love to get the same, like people did that shit for Trump all the time when they like looked at his campaign promises. Because that, I feel like, is really the only objective way to look at how successful a president is how much they delivered on the things they promised when they ran on, regardless of how horrific those things are. Like when Donald Trump says he's going to build the wall, if he doesn't build the wall, that makes him a bad president because he promised he would. Like, mm-hmm. even though it's an objectively terrible thing to do, like, so yeah, the fact that he didn't deliver on that makes him a bad president. Yeah, if someone did that shit for Biden, like, ooh, man, he made a lot of promises to try to appeal to the left-wing base after Bernie Sanders was forced to drop out. Like, I would love to get a counter on that. I would love to see what he actually accomplished from that shit.
The kind of like the last gasp that he was going to have was the student loan forgiveness thing.
Yeah.
And they failed to account like the strategy that Republicans and the courts are going to take with it. And they just said, we're going to do this because we want to, and didn't have like the kind of backing they needed to get it through. And that was, they took that away from me. that was the one thing where I was going to like, you know what? I don't like Biden, but this is a really good thing that he's doing. And like, it's going to help a lot of people and I'm going to give him big props for that. And then it fucking failed. and like, yeah, I'm just as mad as the Republicans and the courts were doing this shit. You know, they're the ones that took it away from me, but Biden is the one that half-assed his way through like, oh, this will fucking work. And then set it up to be taken away. I can be mad at both.
No, but Andrew, he tried. That's more than a Republican would do for you. We got to get him in for four more years. He tried. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Let him get McDonald's on the road.
I tried to rob a bank, but all I did was crash my car and through the door. Do I still get the money?
PolitiFact actually has a Biden promise tracker. The 99 most important campaign promises of Joe Biden. They're saying he has kept 27 of those.
Mm,
he has broken... I don't know. You wanted me to list them?
No.
Why not?
It's like, you got 99 of them. Let's go. We got 99 promises, but I don't know. I don't even know how to get
cognitively functional president isn't one.
forgive student loan debt from public colleges and universities. They are listing that as stalled, which I feel like is... Should probably, I'm imagining a lot of these are going to go, a lot of these stalled ones are going to actually go unbroken, but
yeah,
it's like you can't promise something you can't deliver on. That's part of how a promise works. Right. Like, so they're saying he's kept 27 out of 99. He has compromised on 5. He has broken one. He has stalled out on 31, and he has 34 more in the works, quote unquote.
Okay, that means that he has 64 that are broken.
Yeah, apparently the only one that he's broken was the literal, like the no new fracking on federal lands, which like, yeah, he's fracking more than Trump did.
That was the first thing he fucking did.
Increase refugees and refugee admissions. They're saying that one's kept. Expand broadband or wireless broadband via 5G. That's stalled. Yeah, not even close. Expand Justice Department power to address police misconduct, saying that one's kept. I think that's going to be more left up to debate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of police stuff. HBCUs make them more affordable, stalled. Eliminate mandatory minimums for criminals. They list that as stalled. Bro, that is broken. I'm sorry. Yeah. There's no fucking shot you are eliminating mandatory minimums in the next year. Like, that one is broken as shit. Improve Obamacare, they're saying kept. Gonna just question that one. End wars in Afghanistan and the Middle East. Out of Afghanistan, but like, let's look at Yemen and other countries. They listen, that one is stalled. Create 1 million auto industry jobs. Stalled. Disadvantaged communities, 40% of spending benefits stalled. Work to codify Roe v. Wade.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Decriminalize marijuana. Double the value of Pell Grants. Guarantee 12 weeks of paid family and medical leave. Like, it's a joke. Like, I don't know, man.
He got really specific with it, too. He didn't say, I'm going to make America great again. He said, I'm going to do these specific things. And then just Biden kind of forgot about the campaign promises.
Let's see. Trump promise tracker. Let's get the PolitiFact version of that. So he's got, they tracked 100 promises. He kept 24, which is about the same as Biden. But again, we've read some of the ones. And yeah.
Right. Do they have any of those that are listed as stalled?
No, the stalled is gone.
Okay, good. Good.
The stalled and the in the works are gone, believe it or not. He's got 55 broken and 23 compromises. So it's about 50-50 between kept / compromise and broken. But yeah, when you start tallying up the Biden stalled and in the works ones, which he's got a little over a year left, yeah, I think they're going to be more or less the same. So look, do I appreciate that he's working on the promises that more align with my own political sensibilities? Sure. But like, Jesus Christ, an objectively successful president, like, get that shit out of here. It is brutal. So yeah, no, I empathize with you, Andrew, because it does put you in a very weird position when people say fuck Joe Biden and you agree with them wholeheartedly, but you can't do that because you know for a fact they're doing it for some real fucked up reasons. Like,
yeah, like I can't physically say yes, I align with you because I know who you are or who you, just you probably
know,
are.
Yeah, you know the reason they're saying fuck Joe Biden, and it is because he's not overtly racist or something. Like, he likes black people too much. And you're like, okay, all right. Can't agree with you there. Sorry.
Y'all checking anything out? I can go off about Armored Core for a little bit, but I want to give you both the opportunity to talk about your passions and interests.
I started watching The Foundation on Apple TV.
Oh.
I've been meaning to check it out for a while. Finally. And the second season came out this year. I'm like about halfway through season one. So
I heard season two was really good. I flamed out in the first episode. It was just so boring. I don't know. Does the first season get better?
Or how long does it take? There's good moments. I would say like halfway through, I really like the concept. I really like the imagery and visuals. Yeah.
I love space. So yeah, it should be for
that's
me.
The thing is,
this is so boring.
I didn't think that I didn't think the first episode was super boring. I thought it kind of sucked me in. Episode two was where I like really got into it. And then since then, there's been like good moments, boring moments kind of in between. Still, like, it kept up with like the cool visuals and concepts and that kind of stuff. And then yeah, I heard the second season's really good. So yeah, I mean, check it out. Ryan, sounds like you already did and decided it wasn't for you.
I might have to do it because I heard the same fucking thing. God.
But Jared Gleason, or Who's
Jack
the guy?
Gleason?
Who's the guy from Chernobyl?
Jared Harris. Yeah.
Who's Jared Gleason?
Thinking of Jack Gleason, the guy who played Joffrey in Game of Thrones, him with Jared Harris?
Not.
And Brendan Gleeson?
Not similar. I was thinking Brendan Gleeson. God damn.
Jared Harris and Brendan Gleeson. Never were there more alike actors.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Jared Harris does a good job. He's in two episodes.
I fucking love Jared Harris. That alone could put me over the hump. We're playing through fucking Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Goaty contender, if not runaway favorite right now.
Yeah, I picked this up. Fun. I gotta get in there.
It's we defeated a hag. That was great.
Yeah.
You beat an old woman?
Oh yeah. Yeah. She was tough.
Oh.
Very. We died. That was the first time we actually had our party die out and had to restart.
We had a reset.
I imagine this is weird with the multiplayer again. Are you guys strategizing in these fights? Are you going in with okay?
Yeah.
Depends on the fight. Sometimes someone just like randomly wanders off and then it's just like, oop, and then they're in combat and we all have to run to their rescue. But a lot of times, yeah, it's we put a little thought into it. And if there's like an obvious choke point as the tank, I'll kind of like get in there and try to absorb as many hits as I can. If there's like an obvious perch that you can kind of get a strategic viewpoint on, like I feel like Jason and Andrew, you guys kind of get on that and take advantage.
Ryan takes all the hits and deals the most damage while Ian and Jason do damage from a distance. And Andrew is useless at any given moment, except for when sometimes he calls up a big fucking glowing hammer to follow him around and hit people.
The hammer is good for comedic value because it's very much a Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse Spider-Ham style, just like the hammer just kind of turns over and hits them on the head and sometimes kills them. Like,
you're a healer, you're keeping people alive, you're support, you're the mercy.
I'm running out of spell slots pretty fucking quickly.
Oh no.
And
you might
also
need to look into the specking properly.
I need to change some shit. I
to not toe the line and be like a healer slash damage and just pick an angle.
My heals are my spells are not that great. My spell slots are few and far between, and I got very very little health.
Oh,
and your armor class is pretty weak too. So you pretty much.
Well,
constantly get hit.
That's part of the problem is that I can't ever find any good equipment because I have the lowest, what's it called?
Armor class. Initiative.
So I'm always last, which means I'm usually the farthest away from the fight wherever it ends. So then by the time the fight's over, everyone else just scrounges up all the good equipment and I run over there and there's nothing. I still have the armor that they spawn you with. Like,
I think that's why you don't get good equipment.
I need better shit. I need to stay alive.
We share the equipment. Like, we definitely don't hold things back from you. Like, you can't wear heavy armor. Like, you can't, like, some of the shit that some of us are using is literally not applicable to you. And I think the armor they start you with is 14 on the armor class. And if you look at light armor,
it's like 11.
Is it 11? Jesus, yeah, you really are fucked. And you have low dexterity.
Yeah,
as a cleric,
low dex,
which is your armor bonus for your armor class. So
is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought strength was your armor bonus.
No, the bonus from your armor class is from dexterity because the idea is like they're missing.
I put most of my points into strength and wisdom. Which are not serving me well.
I don't think strength is good for a cleric.
When I was looking up the cleric, they said the cleric is like healing and like melee damage. Like, this is a really good brawler class. And then
interesting.
I probably should have done more digging.
Yeah, I was like, we watch Dungeons and Dragons stuff. I feel like a cleric is a pretty pure healer. Like, traditionally, not saying that you can't have a fun mixture. Like, we do fine as a party. But yeah, you know, if you don't want to down constantly, might be kind of tricky otherwise. But yeah, we have fun. Evil Drikwa had the kill of the... Oh yeah, my character's name is Evil Drikwa, which is a tiefling translation of Ivan Drago from Rocky IV. So he's just a Russian man who smashes things. And yeah, in the most recent playthrough, there was a goblin archer up on a little platform and I couldn't reach him on my turn with my movement. So I broke the platform with my sword and then used my bonus action to just stab him and brutally murder him in one hit, just took down everything in the environment. It's fun.
You forget the thing that you do where you like, as your bonus action, will sometimes pick people up and throw them at other people.
Oh yeah. Sometimes you got to just throw a guy into another guy. Of course.
I assume this is all happening in a way where y'all can communicate.
Yeah.
Has there been a level of coordination where, you use that bonus action to pick up a guy, throw him into another guy, and then that puts him within the range of another party member who can then kill him? Is it that level of strategizing?
It sounds smart. We could do it.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
When it comes to range and placement, we're a little more haphazard than we probably should be if we're really like tryharding. Okay. I think the fact that we haven't really come across a serious challenge until the hag, which kind of came out of nowhere because she was using a lot of hold person spells, which essentially just stuck half of our party, and we didn't really understand how concentration worked. I think if we had like a difficult time, we would start getting a lot more strategic about that stuff.
And I imagine there is an argument to be made in this game's difficulty, in this game's design philosophy, that, Andrew, it sounds like you backed into it unintentionally, but I imagine there are people who are role-playing a character who is like, yeah, this is the buffest fucking cleric out there. That's what the gym is, the church in which he worships. Like, that's his whole deal. So you would...
Yeah. The deity that he pulls power from is just his own body.
Leg day is his Satan. Yeah, so you would have to accommodate, account for people like playing less than optimally. So, I don't know.
I don't think Seamus spends much time in the gym.
No.
There's there's like a couple of like running gags slash storylines that are developing with our players. Jason's is that Jason is like definitely evil, but like trying to hide it. Ryan keeps getting woken up in the middle of the night with some sort of like weapon pressed to his throat.
And it hasn't gone well for everyone who's done that to me.
It's been real bad time. Seamus is just failing Riz checks every single time with
really
this.
Really struggles with the ladies.
This other cleric that he's trying to hit on, and then
he also slips in grease a lot.
Yeah, fun. I slip all the fucking time.
That's again, it's dexterity. He got low dexterity.
Wait, did you? Oh my, Andrew, did you just accidentally create an Irish stereotype?
Yeah, but that not accidentally.
Oh,
that was intentional.
You should probably be like half drunk a lot more often. That would be more fun for RP.
Yeah.
But no, that was your initial character thought, I believe, was, make an Irish stereotype, so.
Mm-hmm. Can you get drunk as a character in this game? Can you consume alcohol and have it?
And it has, like status effects, for sure.
Yeah, fuck it, let's do that.
Get Seamus's whiskey. And Ian's like the bleeding heart, like, I don't know, guys, I think we should protect people.
No.
And all of us neutral slash evil people are like, ooh, no.
Protect? I want to attack.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, no. Seamus, like, does protecting people because otherwise he would feel bad, not because it's the right thing to do.
I love it. Utilitarian. Before we wrap, I finished Armored Core 6, which I think is a really good exploration of the loss of autonomy, the loss of identity under capitalism. There's a line in one of the game's endings where your former boss, who introduced the game with the promise of, okay, cool, the surgery to make you better at piloting a giant robot to turn you into a gun, that was all successful. Hey, you just got to work this job for a while. You work this job, you make a bunch of money, and then we can undo the surgery and you're good to go. At the end of one of the endings, he is in a functional fugue state where he is zombie piloting a giant robot and mumbling as much to you as himself, like, what are you doing here? Why? No, you got the money. You got the money. You get your body back. You don't need to be here right now. But what are you doing? And like, man, if that isn't a really good exploration of the fucking like neoliberal, the system works. Like you did it. You did the system. You are good at the system. Why are you still here? What's happening? And just not able to conceive of a better way of things being. That was really powerful to me. One of the final lines in Armored Core 6, who is coming from a guy who turns out to be like the final boss fight, who just sucks. That's his entire character. He just sucks.
He's just dipshit.
Yeah, he hates you because you are better at capitalism than him.
Oh my God.
His final line is, I always envied you, the freelancer who had it all, which is a funny line, but it's supposed to be funny in that moment. Because you are essentially a freelancer in this game, and you have realized more than anyone that this shit is fucked. Being a freelancer in this world, in any world, fucking sucks. and you are actively fighting to make it so people don't have to be in your circumstances anymore. Yeah, that's really good. And also the secret actual villain, it's a little bit of a trope. It's a rogue AI that has gained sentience, but also appropriate because the rogue AI is running like the mercenary base that you've been stationed at for pretty much the entirety of the game. Like it is represented, it is a creation of this system that would not exist without the capitalistic and like human conflict, artificial human conflict forces that have been created. Yeah, it is a byproduct of that. And it is the secret villain of the game because it is realizing that it can fulfill its purpose more by like, oh, if I dial up late stage capitalism even further, then like that is going to like actually be what's best for humanity. The AI is still convinced that it is doing what is good for humanity, and that is more capitalism. Right now, speaking on September 18th, 2023, this is my game of the year, personally.
Better than Tears of the Kingdom.
On a technical level, it should probably go to Tears of the Kingdom. Like, I recognize that is more of an achievement in the medium than Armored Core 6. But also, Tears of the Kingdom is functionally defending the monarchy's divine right to rule. And I object to that on a personal level. Armored Core 6 is more my kind of shit. I feel like I get like one Lucas game, one fuck you, this is rad as hell game every year, and it's Armored Core 6 this year.
Okay, man. Hey, I'm not saying that like Armored Core isn't a good game. Like I haven't played it. All I know of it is from you talking about it every week, and then the 5-minute donkey video that I watched. Seems like it's a fun time. I don't know if it really, I don't know, like moves the medium forward or like does anything like super rad and like smooth enough to be like, yeah, this is game of the year. I just think Tears of the Kingdom is so good, man. Like Baldur's Gate is like awesome and it's cool. And it's a game that's unlike anything I've ever played before. Tears of the Kingdom is just, I mean, Breath of the Wild was kind of a consensus. This is either one of or the best games ever made. And Tears of the Kingdom is, what if we did that and did everything way better?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how you can like say that it's not kind of like the best game ever made. But if you just like Armored Core 6, then good on you, man.
Yeah, I like it a lot. And I will say, in response to the Donkey video, video he put out a little more critical of Armored Core 6, following video he did had some allusions and references to Armored Core 6. So maybe that's one of the ones he goes back on later and is like, actually, maybe this is legit. And two, yeah, I watched that video too. Donkey's Armored Core 6 video. I just think he doesn't have the spirit of a mech pilot. And I do. And that makes me better than him and make Armored Core 6 hit better for me.
He doesn't have the magic oil.
Space magic oil that's also alive. Yeah. Packers lost to the Falcons. Frustrating. I enjoyed the game. That was an interesting game. Wish it had a better conclusion, but yeah, that sucked. And that'll do it for episode 233 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, which will either be titled "They're Just Earthquakes" or "Eat Cornflakes, comma, Jerk Off." That can be read as an insult or as a verb. And that makes me want to go with the latter on that one. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, we're up there. At @V2_podcast on Twitter. Support us on Patreon, join the likes of the terrific Tiffany Cole and Sucky Badger. Follow me on, don't follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Blue Sky. I'm Lucas DeRuyter on Blue Sky. Follow me there. That it? All right. Goodbye, everyone. Have a great week.